Any idea where we should meet?
Sound familiar? A get-together with an old friend? Could be a new friend. Could be a blind date. Who cares? You've had the conversation before. The only odd thing about that conversation is that most likely it didn't happen over the phone at all. Nor will it. It just translates a bit better for a podcast, but most likely every single logistical aspect of this epic night out to be is going to be produced, calculated, sponsored by, and all handled by your mobile phone. This episode, I'm untangling how you can handle the whole night, which begins by actually finding somewhere to meet. I'll explain how you can make reservations, find your way there, learn some tips to figure out where to park, how to split the bill and calculate the tip, how to use Venmo to pay for it, how to use ride-sharing apps like Uber and Lyft to get to your next stop on your journey, and finally, how to remember where you parked your car in the first place. I would love to know what you like or love about the show, so please, in whatever app you're using to listen to this, I'd love a 5-star rating, subscription or follow, and a review. If you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to see, send an email to podcast@nerdgirljess.com. My name is Jess Stratton, and this is Nerd Girl Jess Untangles Tech. Like your fun night out? This episode is going to be moving fast. Let's start the show. The first thing that needs to happen when planning a night out is choosing a spot that's about halfway between both parties. Fortunately, there's an amazing website out there that will do the work for you. It's called meetways.com. That's meetways.com. It's completely free to use, and while there's no mobile app, the site is built to render perfectly on a mobile device. You put in your first address, or just a zip code is fine, and then the second one. You ask for a restaurant, cafe, or you can just leave that field blank to find out what city is the midpoint. Now, there is another site you can use, also free, called whatshalfway.com. And this website also has an app if you prefer, but I usually just find it easier to use the website. Right in the middle of the screen, you can do the same thing. You can put in both parties' addresses, but there's an additional tab here called Meeting Planner. And here, you can put in more than two parties to find a good spot. So this site is excellent for group meetups. So now we know where this epic night will start. We have a destination. The next thing you'll need to plan in advance is when to leave your house to get there on time. Now for that, I suggest the Google Maps app. Once you have that app, type in the address or venue name in the top of the screen, making sure to choose the correct venue if it's a chain that has multiple locations.
You put the address into the hole. What did you see?
A list of Trelew's. I just clicked on the first one.
Which was not Trelew, England. We're in the wrong Trelew.
Once you're sure you have the right location, you'll want to make sure everyone else has that correct location also. So if you want to, you can share that location with your group by scrolling horizontally where it says directions and start. You'll see the big share button, and you can then send it via text, email, Facebook, carrier pigeon. Great. Done. Everyone is clear on where you're meeting. But here's the thing. You're not leaving now. You're leaving sometime in the future. The time it tells you it will take to get to your destination doesn't really mean much until you're actually leaving. Fortunately, Google Maps has already thought of this way ahead of us and given us a solution.
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
With the address in there, go ahead and tap directions. This is going to load up the route, ready for you to hit start to get turn-by-turn GPS directions, which you'll do when you're in the car. But at the top, where it says your location, and I mean that literally, there's three little dots. Tap those dots, and there's one really crucial setting. It's labeled set depart or arrival time. Now, you could set it to depart at and set a time you'll be leaving. This is obviously useful when you want to see what the estimated time to arrive will be if you leave at a specific time. Google takes things into account like speed limits and accumulated traffic data at that time to give you as close an estimate as you could ever hope to get. For a night out, though, you'd have most likely set a time for you all to arrive, so we'll tap the Arrive By tab instead. I'll put in what time the meetup is, and it will tell me how long it will take to get there based on that arrival time. Again, it's using traffic data, so I would always recommend getting in the habit of using the Arrive By and Depart At to get more accurate driving times, and so there's no surprises. Another reason I like to do this ahead of time is so when the event actually starts and I'm in the car, I can just tap into the search field and the destination will show up in the recent list, so I can just tap on it and go. I don't have to relook up where it is or fumble for the address when I'm in the car ready to go. So we have a date. We have a location. I know how to get there, but I need to make sure we can all be seated at the restaurant when we arrive. You may be able to make a reservation right in the Google Maps app with the restaurant selected. Look for the Reserve a Table action button on the same horizontal line as Directions and Share. There are a few systems that restaurants can use, such as OpenTable or Reci or Talk. It doesn't matter. You'll just need your mobile number. You also don't need to have those apps to make a reservation, as you can do it right from Google Maps. But I do like to have the OpenTable app, and I'm going to talk specifically about that one. The OpenTable app isn't going to be used by every restaurant, obviously, and not all restaurants take reservations. But it definitely has a massive restaurant listing, which is why I'm using it for this scenario today. And once you learn how a restaurant reservation system works in an app, you can easily transfer that knowledge to any other reservation system. In the OpenTable app, you can tap Search down at the bottom. Here is where you'll put in the specific restaurant name. Like GPS, make sure you have the right branch and location of the restaurant and tap on it. You'll be brought to a screen where you can make a reservation for your party. What I like to do here is tap View Full Availability to get a much larger and easier screen to work with. And this screen makes it easy to see what you need to do. The first step at the top is to choose your party size. You can choose a lot of people here, but be warned that most restaurants will make you call anyway if your party is over 6 people, so OpenTable is best used for a party size of 6 people or less. You tap the number of people, and then tap your date, and you can scroll through the months by swiping the calendar. Once you tap on a date, you'll see the time slot you can book. So here's where you'll tap on the time you chose with your party. Once you choose a time, you can then put in any special requests, like needing a gluten-free menu or specify a special occasion like a birthday. Scroll down some more, and you'll need to put in your cell number and then tap Reserve. Now you may be prompted to create an account at this step, though you certainly don't have to. Personally, I did create an account because it's easier to manage and track multiple reservations. If you need to change the time or date or even outright cancel the reservation, it's all stored in the app with your account. Now, not all restaurants require a credit card to secure your reservation, but many do. This is to possibly charge you a fee if you cancel a reservation outside that window noted in their cancellation policy, which you will see when you reserve a table. If the app tells you that the reservation requires a credit card, it is safe to do within the app. But of course, it's your choice not to use OpenTable to make the reservation. If you aren't comfortable with it, just call the restaurant. Now, one final note on OpenTable. It's also useful when you're traveling, you haven't made any reservations anywhere, and you just want to see what's nearby that has available seating. You don't need to use the app for a specific restaurant. You can just open the app, at the top of the screen, tap the number of people with you, and then tap Nearby to see what's available right now. We're at our destination. Let's park. It doesn't matter if you're an iPhone or Android user. you can use Google Maps. Open up the app, tap your blue dot, and choose Save Parking. Or, if you use Apple Maps, it will save your parking space automatically when you disconnect your phone from CarPlay or Bluetooth. Now, if you wanted to do that, there are a few things you need in place for that to work, and they're all in your iPhone Settings app. Here we go. In Privacy and Security, make sure Location Services is set to On. Go into Location Services and scroll to System Services. Make sure Significant Locations is also set to On. Back out to the Settings main menu, tap on Maps, and all the way at the bottom, make sure Show Parked Location is set to On. If all of those are met, you can always use Siri to say, "Save this as my parked car location." We talked about Siri. That was episode 1. I do want to talk about that significant locations for a moment. It's an important one, so you need to understand it. This is the setting that will keep track of where you've been and where you go often. This is how it knows locations that are significant to you. This is how it sends you predicted traffic updates and even how it builds photo memory libraries for you. If you're going to turn on that button, you should know what it does. You can now leave your car and trust that you can get back to it at the end of the night, even if you're in a new town or city or a parking garage that looks like every other parking garage in the city. Something else you might want to do is tell a friend where you are. On an iPhone, you'd most likely want to share this with a friend you're texting. So the easiest way is to go into the message you already have with them, tap their name, and then tap Send Current Location. If you want to make sure they know where you are for the entire evening, you can do that too. You can tap their name and choose Share My Location, and then choose from 1 hour till the end of the day or indefinitely. This one's great if you're traveling alone or going on a date and need a virtual buddy to keep an eye on where you are. For Android users, you're going to do this via Google Maps. Tap your avatar icon on the top right-hand side, tap Location Sharing, and then Share Location. You can also set the duration here, and then either choose who you want to share it with or tap More to get a link you can send via text. Actually, if you're an iPhone user and you use Google Maps, you can do that as well. Why not? We're going to keep Google Maps open for the next step anyway. We are officially out of the car. We disconnected Bluetooth or CarPlay, locked the door because we aren't in Kansas anymore, and if you're me, you took a few steps and then realized you forgot your sweater or jacket, had to go back to the car, unlock it, get the jacket, and relock the car. But because you aren't in Kansas anymore and are either in a parking garage so you have no bearings as to the north and south poles or parked on the side of the road, you need walking directions to that restaurant. In Google Maps, put in that address, and depending on how far away it is, it might be giving you driving directions. If the icon next to the time it takes to get there is a car, it's driving you. If it's a person, it's walking directions, and you can override any of this. You can even put in public transportation. So tap directions, and at the top of the screen, you can choose driving directions, bus, walking, ride sharing, even bicycle times. However you are getting to the restaurant, yeah, choose that. Now, go have fun, eat, and I'll be back when it's time for the bill. I'm going to read 2 excerpts of one of my favorite book series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. This one in particular comes from Chapter 7 of Life, the Universe, and Everything. It's about bistromathics, and here's the excerpts. Bistromathics is a way of understanding the behavior of numbers. Just as Einstein observed, the time was not an absolute, but depended on the observer's movement through space. So it was realized that numbers are not absolute, but depend on the observer's movement in restaurants. The first non-absolute number is the number of people for whom the table is reserved. This will vary during the course of the first three telephone calls to the restaurant, and then bear no apparent relation to the number of people who actually turn up, or to the number of people who subsequently join them after the show slash match slash party slash gig, or to the number of people who leave when they see who else has turned up. The book briefly talks about the second non-absolute number, arrival time, but here's the last and most relevant excerpt to this moment in time. The third and most mysterious piece of non-absoluteness of all lies in the relationship between the number of items on the bill, the cost of each item, the number of people at the table, and what they are each prepared to pay for. The number of people who've actually brought any money is only a sub-phenomenon in this field. Yes, the late, the great Douglas Adams knew that this concept goes deep, no matter what galaxy you're in. When it's time to pay the bill, obviously, there's a lot of ways to do it. You can itemize each menu item and add tax and tip, or add the tax and tip and split the bill by how many people went. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge. Your phones have a calculator. Your Apple Watch can even do the tip totaling for you. You can open your Apple Watch and launch the calculator. Put in the bill total and tap the tip button. Now, this special button is not on your phone. I don't understand why. Not even when you rotate the phone horizontally to get the scientific calculator. Still not there. Just the watch. But from the watch, you can choose a tip percentage and then use the digital crown to change the number of people to get the total each person owes, including tip. Most restaurants can and will split the bill with multiple cards, but more and more people are choosing to use cash apps to pay, such as Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App. One person pays with a card, and the rest of the party pays that person via that Cash App. It's easy and safe, and servers everywhere are thrilled because it makes their lives a lot easier. So for this episode, I'm focusing on the unsung Cash App hero currently making the rounds, Venmo, because it's the app I get asked about the most. It's also turning into one of the apps that I use the most. In its simplest form, you can send and receive money from friends and pay for and receive goods and services from vendors. It's used on your mobile device and is linked to either your bank debit card or a credit card. Now, this is the important part. It doesn't have to be linked to those things at all or a bank account. You can receive money all day long and pay others through the app using that money that you've received. And that received money is perfectly happy hanging out in your Venmo account. But without adding a secondary account, there's nowhere for you to transfer it to if you want to later, or nowhere to pull money from if you want to use the app to pay someone and you don't have enough existing money in your Venmo account. So if someone pays you, you can either keep the money in your Venmo account to be used to pay somebody else later, or you can transfer it directly to your bank account. Between my friends and I, and all my social circles, I honestly believe it is the same $40 floating around back and forth like those banging balls in that perpetual motion desk toy. I buy pizza at my friend's house one day, and everyone Venmos me their share. It sticks around in my Venmo account. Next weekend, my other friend buys the pizza, and I use some of the money that's already in my account from when everyone else paid me to buy the pizza last week. It's easy, and I should probably lay low off the pizza for a while. But Venmo makes it so easy. After you download the Venmo app from the App Store or Google Play Store, you can open your account by signing up from the app the usual way. And from there, you are ready and all set to receive money into your Venmo account from other people. At this point, you haven't linked your bank account to it yet. So you can't send money to anybody or transfer any money that anyone sent you back down to that bank account. If you're really worried about adding a bank account to Venmo, that's a perfectly reasonable concern. And you can still use Venmo. You can just add a credit card instead to send money from, though you will be subjected to a 3% fee. But you do get that extra protection and fraud security that comes from using a credit card. Now, how does it work to link to your bank account? And most importantly, is it safe? There's usually two ways to link your bank account to a service such as Venmo. And you may have seen other services that want a link to count also, such as ride-sharing apps like Uber or Lyft, or when you want to do auto-pay for a particular bill. The first method is to give them your bank's routing and bank account number. These can be found right on your check. If you're hesitant about using this method, just remember that these are found on the check, which is not exactly a top secret location. When you pay a bill via snail mail with a check, many eyes see that check already, and you're putting your trust in them that it's being disposed of properly. And a snail mail letter can be intercepted and opened, just like a data transaction. And at least with data, you do get that extra protection of knowing it's being encrypted while it's sent. Now, the second method is to use a trusted third-party service, such as Plaid, to connect for you. And you'll use your regular online banking username and password. You don't have to choose a service, so don't be overwhelmed by that. It's chosen by whatever app you're using. Venmo uses Plaid, and you do have to put some trust into Venmo that they are using a trusted service. So in Venmo, the Plaid service shows you a list of banks. Hopefully yours is on the list. If it is, that's good. It means that Plaid works with that bank to connect safely and properly. When you put in your online banking username and password, you're not sharing that data with Venmo at all. The Plaid service has temporarily taken over. And then, once you're safely logged in and connected, Plaid will hand the reins back to Venmo without having or needing to share your login data with Venmo. And all of this happens in the Venmo app. You don't need to do anything special at this point except follow the instructions. So you install the app, you created your account, and you linked a bank account. You're not quite done yet. I highly recommend checking to make sure you're not sharing your transaction history with the world. Venmo uses a feed system similar to Facebook or Instagram. You can become friends with people you send and receive from regularly, and if they have their transactions visible, you'll see who they paid and when. You won't see the amount, but this is super unnecessary and potentially dangerous. To make sure you're not doing this, in the Venmo app, tap the Me icon at the bottom of the screen and then the gear icon at the top of the screen. From there, tap Privacy. Make sure yours is set to private, so transactions are visible to the sender and the recipient only. I'm pretty sure that Venmo does this by default now, but they didn't used to, so it's always good to check. Now, you're ready to send and receive funds. Forget your wallet? No problem. You may go somewhere and see the Venmo QR code at a vendor. Scan the QR code with your phone, and it will open up Venmo to that vendor's profile directly so you can pay them. Now, while Venmo is incredibly safe to use from a technical standpoint, maybe encryption, there's PIN codes, monitoring, etc., you still need to watch out for scams. So the easiest way is to just be present in the moment for your Venmo transactions. If you get a notification that someone is sending you money, figure out who it is or what it's for before accepting it. Make sure you know who they are. But back to our dinner situation, remember? We're here, we're present, and we know who they are. So either you paid them or they paid you, but either way, the bill is paid. And now you're on to your next and maybe last stop of the night before returning to your car, which won't be a problem because you saved your parking spot. Now, maybe you had a few drinks, or maybe you'd rather leave the GPSing to the driver so you can have fun with your friends. The why doesn't matter. It's time to get a ride share to your next spot. That means getting an Uber or a Lyft. Uber is like calling for a taxi, with the added bonus that you don't have to know where you are and you don't have to talk to anyone. And like Venmo, it's all app-based. So once you've downloaded the Uber app, it works in a similar fashion. Create your account, add a payment method. You can add a PayPal account or link to your bank account. Now, instead of Plaid, Uber uses a similar system called Link. It works in a similar fashion, and it's also safe to use. The step after that is in the Where To section, tell Uber where you want to go. Maybe in this case, there's a movie you all want to see, so you'd put in the movie theater. You'll get a list of available options for you. Those options are the specific type of car and how many passengers it holds. Pay attention to that because obviously that's important in a big group. How long the wait time is, that is, how many minutes away the driver currently is, and you'll see the price. Choose the option that suits your needs the best, and then you can verify that the app has correctly chosen the right location for where you are. It's pretty good at getting it right, but in some cases, maybe you're on the side of the road versus being at a specific location, it's always good to double check. After that, you'll be told who the driver is, what they look like, what color and make of the car, and the license plate. Now, all of this is for your safety, so you can verify everything before someone pulls up and says, "Hey, I'm your Uber." You can follow their arrival progress in the app, and the app will tell you when they're approaching. When they pull up, even after you verify their car license plate, before you get in, make sure they tell you your name. This is also for the driver's protection. But once you're in the car, you can sit back and relax. The ride will be paid for via your in-app payment method, and it's the amount that you've already agreed to. The tip is included. When you're at your destination, all you need to do is thank the driver and get out. The app will know you've arrived and will prompt you later to rate the driver and leave an additional tip, though that's optional. You should also know the driver also gets the option to rate you. It's out of 5. Just don't worry about it. Don't spill food or drinks, take your trash with you, and don't puke in the car. It's not hard. You can see your rating in the app. So we did it. We got through finding a place to meet, reserving a table, getting there, parking, paying, and then getting a rideshare to your next spot. You can use these for any situation. So go out, have fun, have a great night out, and know that it's handled and you're all caught up with the current app that all the cool kids are using. Once again, this is Nerd Girl Jess Untangles Tech. If you liked what you heard, I'd love a 5-star rating or review in your podcast app so other people can find this information useful too. If you have anything you want to learn about or talk about, send me an email at podcast@nerdgirljess.com.